Good morning. How is everyone today? Good. Good. That's good. That's yep. It's 'tis the season to be tired. So that's how it goes. I'm pretty sure. I think. Anyways, have you guys seen the shirts that says "I'm just gonna jingle part of the way. I'm tired." I feel that. Okay. So let's just try to jingle just a little bit, anyways. Okay. All right, well, today is week two of our series Advent, and I'm going to be a little bit lazy and sit today because I'm probably going to stand all night tonight. So, last week, Jared taught us about hope, and if you missed it, which a lot of you missed it, not calling anyone out, but Thanksgiving week was slow. Okay, go back and listen to it because it's really a different take on hope. There's also a really cool, you know, you guys know I like the Bible Project. They're also doing a series right now called Advent. So they've been releasing, they released their Hope episode last week, of course, after we wrote a message. And I'm like, well, that could have been cheat codes. But still, they haven't released the Peace one yet. So it did work together. So it worked. So go and listen to those podcasts because they're really good. The way that it talked about hope as being kind of a stretched cord, extended as far as possible. In that, it goes as far as you can, but there's also tension in that space. So go listen to it. It's real good. All right. So what is Advent? So it's a very traditional thing for a lot of denominations, and I'm sure you've heard of Advent in some way, but if you're like me, like we didn't really grow up like talking so much about Advent. We talked about, you know, all the words of Advent and stuff during the holiday season. And we had our Advent calendar that had the little mouse that you moved that now is at the Grace House. And me and Christy would fight over who got to move the mouse each day. And then we would both move it sometimes. Then we'd completely lose track of when it is in December, which seems fitting. But it's more than just a countdown to Christmas Day. It's more than just a countdown to, like, can we tear open the presents yet? And it's not about the arrival of Santa. It's not. Even though our mouse was like, had like a scene, it's got like Mrs. Claus and it's like a Santa living room scene or something on it. But it is not a countdown to Santa. It represents the anticipation of the birth of Jesus and all that it means. It's the hope, the peace, the love, the joy of this season. So we look to the prophecies of the Old Testament to try to understand the longing and the hope that these prophecies provided to God's people, what they were looking forward to. And we see how the birth of Jesus fulfilled these prophecies. They began the redemptive work of God bringing humanity back to himself. But see, the work is not yet finished. Just like the Israelites, we also have prophecies that provide us for hope for the future fulfillment of God's redemptive plan. So the candle that we lit today is also known as the Bethlehem candle. And it stands for peace. It represents the journey to Bethlehem. See, it symbolizes the peace that Christ brings to our world, which means restoration. Our hearts, which is our inner flourishing, and our relationship with God, which is reconciliation. See, we live in a chaotic and relentless world. Everyone's tired. Everyone's busy. See, our world now is marked by hurry and anxiety and conflict and noise. The very opposite of peace. We have, and I'm sure she doesn't remember this, but years ago, Courtney got me a little, like, wooden sign thing that says, be still and know. And that sits in my living room most of the time. And every time I see it, I think about Courtney. And then I feel guilty because I usually see it when I'm, like, rushing past. It's a good reminder that even though life is crazy, it's important to be still and know the peace of God. See, busyness is worn like a badge of status these days. Like you start a conversation with someone, you're like, how are you? How's it been? You're like, oh, busy. That's kind of our go-to. Like it used to be, I'm good. But our go-to now usually seems to be, I'm so busy. Like, it's just been crazy. And I'm guilty of that. I'm pretty sure I've said that today. But see, the crazier your calendar is, it does make you appear just a little bit more important. Like, you got stuff going on. Like, you're needed in different ways. It's a status thing, right? See, Advent invites us to do the opposite. Advent invites us to slow down and remember that peace is not the absence of chaos. It's the presence of Christ in the middle of the chaos. See, I feel completely hypocritical in delivering this message. Like, I'm not the person for this. But at the same time, I feel like going through the process of writing this message was for me. See, the last year and a half has been without a doubt the most chaotic and overwhelming time of my life. I have been challenged spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and even physically. It has bent me, and at times I've nearly broken under the pressure. See, my schedule has been so intense that the idea of finding a moment of rest or stillness feels impossible. I feel like I have to schedule it out a few weeks ahead of time. And then whether or not it actually happens, we'll see what happens that day. But see, through it all, I've learned a few things. I've learned to value the peaceful moments more. I've learned that, you know, that mom guilt thing of I'm not spending enough time with my kids, I'm not doing enough for them. I've learned that it's more about quality time than quantity of time. I've also learned that I could not make it a single day without my people. There's no way. The people sitting in this room, I could not make it a single day without help. And that's humbling. And I've also learned that God has provided for me every step of the way, whether it has been putting the people in my life that I need in that moment, or actually providing things and opportunities and even financially. See, I don't tell you this as a status flex, but as an attempt at a humble confession that I am far from perfect, and I have so much growing left to do in this area. Now, one-on-one, I'm going to tell you that I'm perfect because, you know, it's just who I am. So, but in reality, I got a lot of growing to do too. See, I've learned something I want to share. Because my life has been chaotic and unpredictable, I have learned that I have to fully trust God to be my peace. See, without him, peace would just not be possible. It's not something that I can manufacture on my own. I cannot create my own peace. See, peace is not the absence of chaos. It is finding him in the chaos. It's inviting him into those moments of hurry and rush. See, God has a habit of speaking comfort to his people during chaotic times. I'm going to pull Jared and take a sip of coffee before I read a scripture. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort, comfort. Now, you know, when the scriptures, when it says the word more than once, it's not, they're not stuttering. Like, that's amplifying the importance of it. He says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. Does that sound familiar? You know, does it make anyone want to roar? Yeah. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. See, I like to type all the scriptures that I use into my notes instead of copying and pasting them. And y'all know I use a lot of scripture. So sometimes it feels like I'm taking a lot of time, like, typing things in. But it helps me to get more familiar with the passage. Like, Shauna likes to handwrite all of the scriptures that we use each week because she's a psycho. But she has this tiny, tiny little handwriting. And so sometimes I will be like, oh, I'm just going to read that whole chapter and see what Shauna does with it. So... but it gets you more familiar with the passage, and it also helps me pay more attention to the formatting. Y'all, formatting matters. See, I've always read this scripture as a voice of one calling in the wilderness. But if you pay attention to the grammar, if you pay attention to the formatting of this, you realize it is not a flowing passage like that. That is not what it says. It says, a voice of one calling, colon, quotation, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. See, the colon and the quotation there, it makes it clear that the voice isn't calling in the wilderness. The message that the voice is sharing is to prepare a way for the Lord while you are in the wilderness. See, I've always pictured like John the Baptist, because this is kind of a scripture that's talking about John the Baptist coming and preparing the way for Christ. So I've always, you know, he was a wild dude out in the wilderness. So I've always just kind of pictured like he's the voice in the wilderness. No, it is saying when you are in your wilderness, that is when you prepare the way for the Lord. Y'all, it hit me. Like that really hit me this week. See, we often think when we get our lives together, that's when we're going to be able to serve God. When we get all of our stuff straightened out and we have time and we have the energy, we get our kids raised, we get the next promotion, we whatever it is, we finally clean our house. Like, we think that when we get our stuff together, that there's going to be this magical time in our life that everything's going to make sense and we're going to be at peace, and that's when we're going to serve God. But especially when we are in the chaotic wilderness seasons of our lives, our mission is to prepare the way for the Lord. It's to share the hope of the gospel and the peace of our Savior in the chaos around us. See, we're not in the chaos by ourselves. Everyone around us is in their own chaos. They need the peace. They need the Savior. See, that includes not only speaking peace to others out of our chaos, but that includes making sure that we're preparing our hearts in the chaos to fully receive his peace and presence. See, Isaiah was speaking this prophecy to a people who were very much in turmoil. And God is promising them comfort and peace. See, he's saying there will be a king who will come and he will level the valleys and the mountains and make straight a way. Which means he's going to remove obstacles, external and internal. But we need to be prepared for that. See, Advent is about a season of expectation. It's anticipating what is coming. But you don't just have something happen to you and be taken off guard. See, when you come into this place, every Sunday morning, come in with already prepared hearts. See, the point is not to get in here and then to prepare yourself for the rest of the week. You prepare your hearts for an encounter with God to get you ready for the rest of your week. See, when you come here, it is not so you can just be filled. Sometimes you need to empty before you walk in. You got to prepare the way for the Lord. You have to show up in expectation that he's going to meet you here. got off. See, Advent is the echo of Isaiah's cry. Prepare your hearts because peace is coming. See, preparation is not passive. It is a turning of the heart. It requires repentance. It requires reordering priorities and making room. It means dumping out all the junk that is distracting you before you walk through the doors, so you can be filled and sustained. See, before peace can arrive, peace has to be prepared for. Last week, Jared talked about the difference between a wish and a hope. A wish is hoping for a specific and immediate thing. And these are usually self-centered, dealing with temporary items that are fleeting. See, an actual hope deals with something greater, something more cosmic, more permanent. For example, this could be hoping for a change in how the world works, or hoping for a change in others, or hoping for a specific good fate for creation itself. This could be hoping that your spouse connects with God. This could be hoping that your best friend finally hears that calling. This could be hoping for healing and believing for it. See, the boys like to hear stories about when me and Matt were kids, when we're putting them to bed at night. And I'm starting to run out of ideas, by the way. See, recently Liam asked what I had wanted to be when I grew up. Because he knew that Christy always wanted to be a teacher. And I think they had been talking about that or something. And so he asked, like, what she wanted to be. And I was like, a teacher. She was always bossing me around and telling me things and, like, making me try to practice reading and stuff. She was trying to teach me to read when I was, like, 3. So, and he was like, well, what did you want to be? I was like, I don't know. And he's like, no, well, what did you want to be? And I wanted to be everything. Like, I wanted to be a vet. There was that brief 30 seconds where I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to be a cowgirl. I wanted to, like, own a coffee shop or something. I watched too many Hallmark movies as a kid and wanted to be a small-town business girl or something. See, the truth is I never really knew what I wanted to do. But I loved the idea of being an entrepreneur. I don't remember what grade I was in, but we were learning about different kinds of businesses and stuff, and I heard the word entrepreneur, and I was like, that's cool. Like, that sounds cool. That sounds impressive. Like, there's something about it. It was maybe the adventure of it. Like, there wasn't a specific thing that I wanted to do, though, like a business I wanted to start. I really liked the idea of being my own boss, like not having to answer to somebody. At the time, I didn't realize the responsibility that comes with that. But there's something about the adventurous spirit of starting something new, like something that didn't exist before, creating it out of nothing. And for years, my hope was to be an entrepreneur. I tried photography. I tried baking. I tried sales. I tried painting for a while. But I wasn't passionate enough about any of it to make it work. It never, like, nothing ever really stuck with me. Like, I was like, I'm going to have a bakery. And I was making a cake for someone. And then right, like, 30 minutes before I was supposed to deliver it, it fell and busted. And I was like, I'm done. I'm done with baking. See, I kind of gave up on that hope. Kind of forgot about it. It wasn't until Liam asked me that the other night that I realized, in many ways, my hope had been fulfilled. See, it's not what I expected. It's not what I wished for. It's not what I planned for. But honestly, I'm pretty much my own boss at this point. I mean, technically, I kind of answer to Matt, but whatever. We know the truth about that. And, you know, I answer to a board. But on a day-to-day basis, I'm kind of my own boss. It's scary. Starting Project Community, good grief, it's been an adventure to say the least. It's been a learning curve. It's been nonstop unknowns, and isn't that what an adventure is? It's like daring into the unknown. Like you picture, you know, from Lord of the Rings, I'm going on an adventure. See, I got what I'd hoped for. It just looked a lot different than I expected. But see, I wouldn't change a thing about it because God knew better than I did. It's easy to miss what we're looking for when it doesn't show up in the way we expect it to. Ain't that the truth, Pharisees? People didn't. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. See, who would expect pure and lasting peace to come to earth in the form of a baby, a weak little helpless baby born in a stable in a tiny little unknown town? In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler of Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortress." We're not real concerned about the Assyrians these days, but it's saying no matter what comes against you, he will be our peace. See, long before the manger, this was over 400 years before the stable, God promised that the Messiah would come from a small, overlooked town. See, Bethlehem represents God working through the ordinary, God bringing peace in unexpected ways, and God fulfilling every promise. See, Jesus doesn't just bring peace. He is our peace. See, peace is not a feeling that you can manifest. You cannot create it on your own. You cannot manufacture peace. You can't say, okay, I'm going to have some self-love time. And I'm going to relax myself. I'm going to get a massage. I'm going to take a bubble bath. I'm going to light a candle and whatever it is that you do. For Matt, it's I'm going to go outside and build something. Like whatever it is that you helps you relax. You cannot manufacture true peace. You might be able to help de-stress a little bit, but you can't create peace. See, peace is a person that you can trust. The announcement of the birth of Jesus was proclaimed in an unexpected way too. In Luke 2, starting with verse 8, we read, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" I can't help but think about like Echo Holy, the song, when I read that, like the host of heaven, it's like coming and singing this angelic choir. And I love hearing like this time of year choirs singing. Speaking of, if you enjoy like that sort of thing, first of all, come tonight. But Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at the U of O Chapel is Lessons and Carols, and I would highly recommend going. It is a beautiful, beautiful service. Okay. That's my U of O plug. So students, you can tell Jeremy I did what I, yeah, I did a good job. See, these were shepherds in a field watching sheep sleep. They were doing their jobs. They were in their day-to-day life doing their mundane work. They weren't studying scrolls every day, learning the clues to the coming Messiah like the Pharisees were. And obviously, that helped them. Thank you. You guys need to get my Pharisee humor a little bit more. We're going to work on that, okay? See, they weren't following the star trying to find the Savior like the wise men were. They weren't highly educated. They weren't looking for anything. They weren't qualified. They were what many would call laymen. They're not clergy. I hate that word, clergy. Sounds like something that you cough up. I didn't say that. Never mind. See, just making sure you guys are paying attention. Anyways. See, these were just ordinary men that were just living their lives. And God picked them to be an audience for a private concert for the choir of heaven to celebrate that peace had returned to earth. They got a private showing. How cool is that? See, heaven declares peace not because circumstances changed, but because Christ entered them. The world didn't magically change that night, but peace came to earth that night, and that began the change. See, peace on earth is God's initiative, not ours. God breaks into our mess. He doesn't wait for us to clean it all up first. See, peace is God stepping into our broken world and into our brokenness in order to redeem it. Jesus is the key, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." He made a way for us to reconcile our relationship with God. See, in Romans 5, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through Him, through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." We don't want to go through suffering. But if we invite the peace of Christ into it with us, then it produces perseverance and character, which gives us hope. Jesus provided a way for us to experience true peace of being in communion with the presence of God. This gives us hope, no matter what the circumstances are. Because, as we read in Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And our hearts are constantly filled with the love of God, which fills us with unexplainable joy. See how it all works together? Hope, peace, love, joy. See, the deepest peace that Advent celebrates is reconciliation with God through Christ. Peace is not just emotional calm. It is restoration from an estranged relationship with God into relationship with Him again. See, the Prince of Peace brings us home to God. So, as we read in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So no matter what your circumstances, no matter how chaotic, uncertain, fearful, give it to God. Let Him be your peace. It says that to come, admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. See, to me, that says we're not alone. We're not going through things alone unless we isolate ourselves. See, God gave us one another to walk through things with, to be each other's peace in the chaos. See, one of the hardest things to do is to sing praise with gratitude and joy when you can't see any light. But that's what we're going to do. Even when it hurts, we're going to praise Him. So today, we're going to praise Him. So come back tonight at 6. You've got a few hours. This is your chance. Prepare the way for peace to come. Take some time this afternoon and prepare your hearts. Show up here with expectation, knowing that He will meet you here, that the Prince of Peace is waiting for you. Let's pray. Father, we trust You. Not because we're just hoping or wishing that we're going to get an outcome that we would design, but God, we trust You because You are love, because You are good, because You have shown us Your faithfulness time and time again. God, You see us, You know us, and despite all the messes of the life, God, all of the chaos, all the brokenness around us and inside of us, God, You love us as You find us. You meet us where we are. God, You are not afraid of what's broken. You will put the pieces back in place. God, I know that there's more that You're longing to restore. God, restore it in us. God, help us to prepare our hearts, our minds. God, help us to be open. God, give us a hunger for You. God, help us to know that no matter what is going on in this season, this hectic Christmas season, nothing is more important than You. God, that this is a season of remembering You. It's not a season of chaos. It was not designed to be that way. Lord, even now, we're reminded there's constant chaos and pain and struggles in this world. God, but we can trust that as much as you are with us right now, that you are also with every need. God, you are also with every person. God, you are shining through the cracks of the brokenness of everyone that allows you into the chaos. God, help us to shine your light. God, soften our hearts to the pain of others and help us to be there. God, help us when someone around us can't feel your peace, help us to be your peace for them. God, use us. Shine through us. God, help us, Lord, to never forget the true reason for all of this season. God, not to be so overwhelmed by calendars and obligations, but to take time to remember you, to experience you. Take time to be still and know that you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You came. You left your peace with us and you will come again. Help us to feel you in the chaos and to know that you are God. Amen.